Blog Talk Radio.
MyTrip.com today. That's INFURE, my trip. com. We'll help you travel with confidence.
WWNN, Pompano Beach. The Seaside Inn is a private, sober hotel offering a serene beach haven where men and women in recovery can relax and enjoy life. We provide an upscale attitude in a humble, quiet setting just 50 yards from the beautiful Atlantic Ocean in Pompano Beach. Come and enjoy health events and wellness activities as you celebrate God's greatest gift, you. For information, call 954-249-5589. 954-249-5589. The Seaside Inn, located at 308 South Ocean Boulevard in Pompano Beach. 954-249-5589.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Becker & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
Hello, I'm Barbara Joy, a chef guru, and I invite you to connect with me every Monday, 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on WWNN 1470 AM, Boca Raton, Florida, or blogtalkradio.com/chefguru. Listen to the Creating Cafe, consider the possibilities, and let me assist you in shifting those limiting beliefs so you become the dynamic, creating individual you're intended to be.
This is Ricky Bird, and I love my sound.
Let me tell you about the Sound Pillow. Sound Pillow helps many people in early addiction recovery who suffer from stress, anxiety, fear, and long sleepless nights to get a comfortable night's sleep by providing a calming and soothing feeling for the mind's everyday distractions. Sound Pillow allows the mind to shut down, the body to relax, and the spirit to heal. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's soundpillow.com. And while you're there, check out the many endorsements from people and addiction treatment centers using the Sound Pillow. Don't lose another night's sleep. Call toll-free today, 877-846-6488. That's 877-846-6488. And let the healing begin. Go online to soundpillow.com. That's www.soundpillow.com. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors. This is the Rockers in Recovery radio show, dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Holland.
baby, baby. Oh, don't you hear the drum above it? You gotta shake it out and play it. Cause the band is saying something. Everybody in the jumping. You gotta start off with fire.
All right, of course. John Hollis here. We got a special edition tonight of the East Coast music scene. We're going to be in here with Kevin King. Kevin King's going to be interviewing a great musician that's with the Hooters, and he's going to be talking more about that. Who are you interviewing and what are you doing?
The drummer named David Yusicki, and he's been with the Hooters for 30 years.
Sounds good, man. And that was one of their tunes that we started out with, and of course we are looking forward to a great night of fun here at Rockers in Recovery. I'm sure that this is going to be a very exciting show, folks, over the next few hours. And hold us to the number of 30. 30 seconds is our number tonight, folks. 20 seconds is our number tonight. Sorry about that. All right, so we're actually looking forward to a great show, and we're looking forward to having some fun with it as we go through the night. And we are definitely going to have some fun. And my name is John Hollis. I'm the host for the next at least 3 hours live. I could go five, depending on how happy I am by the end of this. And most importantly, I'm looking forward to carrying a message of hope, because that's what Rockers in Recovery Radio is all about. See, Rockers in Recovery is a radio interview talk show. And what we do here at Rockers in Recovery is we interview, as a talk show, we interview, of course, people that play music, write music, and offer music to the general public. And as a talk show here on WNN 1470 AM, because we are a talk show that incorporates music into our talk show. See, what we do is we talk to guests, we interview them, because that's what we do. We are a talk show.
Right.
And then we do interviews. See, we interview the artist, and then we play a little bit of their music.
Nice.
Just a little bit, just enough to wet your whistle. See, because that's what it's all about. Then you have iTunes. Go download it. Go have some fun. Enjoy. See, I love to be able to let go of my resentments and my things right here on WNN, right here live on 1470. I am John Hollis, and of course we are Rockers in Recovery, and of course we got Kevin King in from the East Coast music scene tonight, and Kevin's going to be doing his interview. We're going to get Kevin's guest on the line, and we're going to start kicking this thing off. And most importantly, if you are listening tonight, you're going to hear a clip from last night's Johnny B and the Road Dogs. No music. It's a little bit in the background. But you will be hearing, of course, the interview. Of course, set to music. So it's actually a good interview. We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to having Johnny B, of course, at our concert May 28th. And by the way, folks, the website that we are in the process of building, the website is done. Now we are incorporating the streamer that we just purchased, and we will be streaming our own radio program 24/7, incorporating, of course, the 18 hours a week that we buy here at Beasley Broadcasting into that streamer cast. It's going to be posted up on about 100 different websites. We're working on all of the different, different affiliates that we're going to be working with. And we're starting out with 100, and we're hoping by January to have, of course, our streamer streaming on 1,000 websites. That's my goal. That's my goal, baby. Have 1,000 people say, yeah, Johnny, you can put that on our site because we like what you're doing. So we're looking forward to it. And, of course, that's Kevin King's, his cell phone. Who was that, Kevin?
That was Dan McMahon.
Dan McMahon.
Yes.
Dan McMahon, we want to say hello to Dan McMahon, of course. What we're going to do right now is we're going to, of course, go to our guest, and, Kevin's guest, and Kevin's going to take it from here.
Yeah, wonderful.
Wonderful.
Well, tonight's guest is David Yusicki, and David's played with the Hooters for 30 years. He's also recorded with Alice Cooper, Rod Stewart, Cyndi Lauper. The list is endless, but We have David on tonight talking about this new album called In the Pocket, the essential songs of Philadelphia. David, we have you online.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. Can you say that again?
I just was wondering if we had you on the line, David.
Yeah, no, I'm here. My hearing must be a little bit shocked these days, but I can hear you now. I'm good.
Yeah, it might be drumming for over 30 to 40 years, I guess. Huh? So, David, the reason we wanted to bring you on tonight was to talk about this new album that you're doing, and I would just I'd like you to share, you know, right from the beginning, the conception, why you're doing it, and just share with our audience your thoughts behind this album.
Well, you know, the project is called In the Pocket, Essential Songs of Philadelphia. I lived in California. I grew up in Philadelphia, and I moved to California 20 years ago. And the Hooters, all the guys in the Hooters are still based out of Philadelphia. A couple of them have recording studios in Philadelphia. So I would come back here about maybe 5-6 times a year, either rehearse, recording, or, you know, doing a tour or doing some special show. I'd come back to... So I always had a little dose of Philadelphia over the last 20 years. About nearly 2 years ago, I moved back to live here again. And when I came back, I always loved the city. I love the city. I love the people. But there was a different vibe here when I came back. You know, it just seemed like, you know, there were people having... when I left there, they weren't at their tables out like looking as much like a European setting where people had tables set up outside and Rittenhouse Square was bustling. And so, you know, what happened was I wanted to start a recording project of my own, and I was looking for ideas. And then one day my girlfriend and I were having lunch, and, you know, she was actually the one who had the idea. Like, why don't you record some of the songs that inspired you in Philly? And I was, that's it. You know, it was almost like back in the day, Gene Krupa, Buddy Rich, and guy, they would do like Tommy Dorsey records or Benny Goodman records. And they weren't necessarily writers or composers. They would find material to record. So my material for In the Pocket, Essential Songs of Philadelphia, is basically songs that inspired me as a young person, as a drummer growing up in Philadelphia. And it's not, I mean, it's not necessarily songs that, you know, they're bands that even maybe some not made outside of Philadelphia wouldn't have heard of. Like the first song that we did was a song called On My Mondays, which was written by a band called Youth Camp, and one of the main guys in that band was a guy named Joey Wilson. And Joey I actually played the Youth Camp for a bit, and Joey inspired me a great deal as a playing songs, as a drummer playing to the song. And so basically I wanted to pay a homage to Joey. The track after that was a song by Todd Rundgren's band, a band called The Naz, which was recorded in 1967. The song is called Open My Eyes. And that was like one of my all-time favorite songs. And this latest one, we did a song called You Can't Sit Down, which was originally done by Phil Upchurch. The Dovells had it as a hit, and I got Tommy Conwell to come and play guitar and Jake Davidson play on it. So it basically, the project is covering songs that I really loved. And I don't necessarily do the arrangements or GMA. We may do our own concept of the song. And another cool thing about the project is we raise money for the... A portion of the proceeds go to the Settlement Music School, which has been in existence for over 100 years in Philadelphia. For people that want to study music, they give out little scholarships. They get, you know, they help people if they want to play music. It's a great, great organization.
It is wonderful. I mean, it's been really blowing up around Facebook, especially that people that are from Philadelphia that are outside of the area. It's like you said, it's almost like the American Songbook that Sinatra and then would pull from. Now we got something, you know, letting the rest of the country and the world know about the Philadelphia music scene is an amazing project. And also, like you said, giving back to the kids of Philadelphia at the Settlement Music School to, you know, enhance the music and even grow from there to let them know some of the history that we have in our city.
Yeah, it is that. And another really neat aspect of what we've been doing is that you know, it dawned on me that some of these songs, like, I just assumed that the song Opened My Eyes when I was a teenager, I just assumed that it was like a, I thought it was a hit song, but it was, you know, we heard it on the radio a lot here in Philadelphia. I think it got maybe as far as, you know, maybe number 77 on the Billboard charts back then. But I just assumed that it was a huge hit, which it wasn't. And so it's like getting an opportunity to introduce people to songs that they never heard before. So, you know, if there's some new people getting hip to that, then, you know, that's even better. I'm very happy about that.
Now, it's also a brilliant concept. What you've been doing is releasing the songs, like, I guess, what's about every month you've been putting them out, one song a month?
Yeah, well, I'd love to do that frequently, but it's actually been that it's been more like 2.5 months we've been getting out a single. Because what happens, if you go to songsinthepocket.org, you will notice that on the website you can buy the single for 99 cents. You can get it iTunes or Amazon.com. But what we also include with the track is that we shoot a video. So if you go to the site, you'll see choose a track, and you can see All My Mondays. You can see the video that was produced to that. And we filmed the session. We have a sponsor come in. We have a great director. His name is Steve Aceto, who comes in and films it. And we get a little mini documentary of what was going on that day. And then we did the same thing with Open My Eyes. And this most recent one, we did that. And a cool thing, and I didn't mention this, and I should, on with the Joe Bells, a big someone that broke a lot of those records back in the early 60s, even before the Beatles popped, was a guy named Jerry Blavin.
Of course.
Especially in Philadelphia, Jerry was like an icon, and he still is. He's got a great show on WXPN. Jerry's, if you see the video, see Jerry on the video, he's on the track. We got him doing a little intro. We plugged him in, you know, doing a little bit of I don't want to say rap, because he was doing before rap was even happening, but we could, Jerry's in the track.
Oh,
and
nice.
He's also a part of it. So, so it is something that we get out every 2.5 months or so. And we're about to, you know, I did a gig with T.J. Tindall not too long ago. T.J. was one of the guys that played on the original Backstabbers, played on a lot of the, you know, Gamble and Huff stuff.
The Sound of Philly, yeah, The Sound of Philly.
Oh, yeah, they did all that stuff. So, you know, I want to do a nod to that whole Philly International thing, and T.J. is a good friend of mine who played on a gazillion of those songs, and him and I and Bobby Eli got together, and we're hoping to do something with one of those real soon, probably within weeks.
That's awesome. When I first saw the page, one of the songs, that's what I put up, something from The Sound of Philadelphia. So I'm excited about that. That'd be great.
Cool.
Yeah, it is amazing, and just the different artists you brought together. I saw Jeffrey Gaines, of course, Tommy Conwell, and the members of the Hooters.
Everything Rob from the Hooters has helped me out with it. I've actually recorded the track so far these last 3. I've used Rob's studio to do it in. James, Bill Whitman, Richard Bush from the A's, Caponto from the A's, Greg Davis, who was in Blue Review, he can't play guitar. Bill Whitman played bass, I'm going to mention him already, Jay Davidson. So it's been a gas working with all those guys in this type of setting where I normally don't get a chance to do it, or either do they.
It's amazing, David, because that scene in Philadelphia, you know, right when you guys hit the Hooters and then, of course, Tommy, and I mean, there were so many great bands, the Chestnut Cabarets, the Ambler Cabaret, and the way you guys just took it to MTV was amazing, you know. It's a very amazing thing. So it's definitely part of music history, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, it is, and you forget it. I mean, like, and Philly has got such a rich history. That was the one thing that struck me when I got back. I mean, there were bands like, you know, the American Dream, Mick Jameson's band, Todd's band, the Nas, Woody's Truck Stop, Edison Electric, Good God, Johnny's Dance Band. It was just like some great bands. Alan Mann, Ken Cleeter, and the Secret Kid. You know, J.C. Dobbs had all these really good
bands. Ben Vaughn was a good one, man. Yeah.
Ben Vaughn, man. You know, I mean, it had everything. And then, you know, Bowie and Robert Palmer and Michael Jackson, all those guys came to use the Philly, you know, came to use Baker, Harris, Young, that rhythm section from Sigma.
Right.
Jay Tindall, Bobby Eli, all those guys, you know, were just... just monster players and just great musicians that contributed so much to the music that came out of that scene. It was fantastic.
David, this is John Hollis. Pleasure to have you on tonight. I got something I got to ask you. This isn't like a new thing for Philly.
I mean, Philly's been like a mecca of music for the last 50, 60 years. And the recordings that came out in the 50s and even in the late 40s out of the Philadelphia area is huge. And you guys just kind of all followed suit and all fell into place. But it came from a very rich background of music to begin with in that area.
Oh yeah, no question about it. I mean, if you even look at Walk, nowadays they're honoring some of the cats that came out of Philly. Susie Gillespie, Philly Joe Jones. I mean, it was a place here years ago that I never got to. And in fact, there's a great, great video on YouTube where Bill Cosby is talking about playing drums. And I believe it was at the Strand where he's talking about going to these jam sessions. And it's the funniest thing on the planet to get a chance to go there. And I wish I could remember their name, but Bill Cosby talked about drumming at a jazz club, and I believe it was there. Philly Joe Jones, all these great, great, great musicians that came out of the city. I mean, it's a ridiculous place. It really is.
Yeah, and of course you had Bill Haley in the Comets. I mean, there was a lot of folks.
They were all rolling
out of there, man. It was a great time period. It was a great time period of innocence. But when you think about it, I mean, it rolled right into even though I everybody knows that Bruce and the E Street Band, they did a lot of their stuff in New York. But the bottom line is Bruce is a big Philly band, man. And you guys followed, David Johansen and all of those guys.
Right.
I mean, it just goes on and on. But you guys, like, really, when you hit it hard and big. It was a beautiful thing, man.
Right. I mean, I like that you brought up Bruce, because Bruce, my partner and my partner in this project is Don Tavian Allen. You would go see Bruce at the Main Point all the time.
Yeah, man.
And Bruce, Jackson Brown. I mean, there were great places for bands to play here, and they loved Philadelphia, And then again, we would see the bands, and inspired by that, and they were inspired by the things that were coming out of Philadelphia as well.
Something, David, it's an honor to have you on. We want you to hold on. We got to go to a commercial, and then when we come back, we're going to find out, where we can find some Hooters stuff, what you guys are, where your all your information's at, your iTunes and all of that, so that way people can get some downloads. We're going to go out with Open My Eyes, a couple of seconds of that, get some people to hear that a little bit, and then we're going to go to a commercial break and come back with David right after this message.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House at Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must hit the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for 3 generations, CDI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience. Canatelli Builders. 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
This is Ricky Bird, and I am a rocker in recovery, and I love to listen to Rockers in Recovery on rockersinrecovery.com.
I never listened to a word you said. I've been listening to myself instead. Even if I could be now.
Welcome back. And of course, it's me and Kevin King in here tonight for a version of East Coast Music Scene. And of course, we're on Rockers in Recovery. Rockers in Recovery can be listened to right here on WNN 1470 AM, 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., Saturdays from 3 to 6, Sunday nights from 7 to midnight. And of course, we incorporate a whole bunch of different shows and different platforms in that. If you want to check us out, you can go to rockersandrecovery.com or you can go to East Coast Music Scene just by throwing it into your search engine, and it'll come up, and we're all over the place, and we look forward to having you tune in with us. We have a concert coming up May 28th. It's our second concert production, and, of course, we look forward to having everybody come out to it, and it is May 28th. And you can go to, of course, rockersandrecovery.com and find out more information. We got Ricky Bird from formerly a Joan Jett and the Blackhearts coming down from New York to play in it. We have Chasm Sultan. He's going to be here in town playing at it. And, of course, we have the Road Dogs backing those guys up. And then we have the Keep Coming Back band. We have Johnny B and the Road Dogs and Rhetoric. And we're looking forward to the show. May 28th starts at 1:30 in the afternoon, goes until 6:30. And then, of course, free all the way around. Free entry, free food. Come on down, hang out with us. And we're planning on three of these completely. We already have finished one. We got the second one in May, and then we got a third one in September, and then we ultimately end at the 12-Step Music Fest. So that's November 3rd through the 6th, and we're bringing Chris West with us this time, so thanks for sharing, Chris.
I finally get to go to one of the concerts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
Getting tired of talking about concerts. Let me tell you something. Talking about concerts, if you've never seen a Hooters concert, you are missing much. And, of course, Kevin, go ahead and bring your guest back on.
Hey, David, this is Kevin again.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Dave.
Actually, that was all my Mondays that you played. I don't open my eyes, but that's okay. You can play that as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, we got to school the engineer on the other side.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's all right. I like all of them, so that's fine.
Dave, what you know, you've been doing these shows at WXPN, and you're doing one this week. What goes on at one of these shows?
I do it as a single release party because the musicians I have playing, we're not necessarily a band, except for Eric, Rob, and myself playing together with the Hooters, but it's a completely different ball. I mean, when we started conceptualizing In the Pocket, we really got together with some of the guys that recorded the first track, and I invited a few friends. And the first one that we did was in a little restaurant, and we invited a bunch of people, and it ended up being a scene, and we just basically played songs. We played the single, and then we said, well, what do you want to play? So, you know, Richard Bush wanted to play something from the Syndicate of Soul, and Eric wanted to play something from The Who, and then, you know, Rob. So it was like one of those things. And then it evolved into more of a, now that we have more people, the last one, you know, I had Alex, Graham Alexander, which I didn't mention now, Graham Alexander,
right,
who happens to be Fran Smith's son, playing bass. He came in. And he plays Paul McCartney and on the Broadway show Rain's amazing. He's 22 years old. He's pretty.
Wow.
He came in and we did a couple. We did I'm Down and Long Tall Sally. And we do some A's songs. Of course, we do the stuff from In the Pocket. And but now we're getting more essential songs to Philadelphia. As we get more material, there'll be more to play. And this time around, we're going to play some songs from Chick the Gaines. We'll play some Tommy Conwell. We may even play some Hooters. We'll play some A's. And the previous two, we show a video. We show the video that you see on the site. We talk a little bit about the Settlement Music School. And it's a good time. It really is. I mean, if the last two is any indication what this week is going to be like at the World Cafe, it's going to be a gas. I wouldn't mind being in the audience, but I'm going to play.
Yeah, nice. You know, I got a question for you, David. As far as the industry today, because the industry today has totally changed from what the industry was in the 80s. And with the onset of, you know, iTunes and the onset of Amazon and the download and YouTube and all of the rest of the features out there that you can just get online and punch somebody's name in and get their stuff.
Right.
It's totally, totally changed. So you have to kind of take the helm now as a group and say, you know something, hey, check this out. We need to start having these release parties. We need to start having these different informationals out there. Do talk shows where you can get your music played. Do those types of things. Do you ever have any particular situation where licensing comes up or situations like that where, you know, you license your own music, so you can put it out there wherever you want, correct?
Right. I mean, as far as, and again, even with my project, I'm covering songs, so I need to license, before I record a track, I license the track. I have someone that helps me with that kind of stuff. I say, listen, this is what I want to do. We license it so that, you know, the person that who wrote the song will see the profits of that song like they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And but with our stuff, I mean, usually, I mean, we try to do all that. You hope everything's on the up and up with those kinds of things. But, I mean, God, you know, nowadays you just don't know, you know, really. But that's what we do, you know, with our projects.
So when you go on, let's say you want a talk show or you go on a radio show or you go any particular place, when you get that music out and you're using it to promote what you're doing, the licensing aspect of it covers, of course, anywhere that you're at because of that, correct?
I hope so.
Right. The good news,
I'm sure I'm going to hear it from an attorney, but the reality is that's what we do. You know, I mean, I would love to be, sound like an expert with it, but that's why I have somebody that I contacted who is an expert. She's very granular when it comes to, you know, finding out details on those kind of things. Because, again, you know, I feel pretty strongly, very strongly about people getting what they're supposed to get when they write or something like that. We're covering a song, so those things have to be in place. And I believe that we're totally okay for she's sake. You're okay to go. So
and you know something, that's the good news. But I mean, I'm not even talking about the remakes more so than I am about you being able to take Hooters music and be able to do anything you want with it, as long as it's, you know, pretty much your own music. You created it from you know, the music to everything.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up an interesting situation because I'm. You know, for instance, there's a lot of artists these days that are re-recording the masters of the original songs that they had. And, you know, I've done the same thing, you know, with some Hooters songs. I mean, Columbia Records owns the masters to what we did with Nervous Night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can basically say whether they want to license it to someone or not. You know, we don't own that. Mm-hmm. At least I believe, like, we don't own that. And so there's a lot of bands that have taken, like, I know Dal Hall and John Oates did it. Joe Jackson is doing it. There's a lot of people that have gone out recording the songs that were big songs for them. And nowadays, the technology, there's this amazing things you can do with it. So that when someone comes and they want to use that song, they say, hey, listen, I got this version of it. You might want to hear it. And then the artist who wrote the song will benefit from it.
Nice.
And having the mechanical as well, yeah.
Well, you know, and of course, these are all things that the industry has changed so much, and so many things have happened in the industry, and all of this has changed with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different world. I mean, this project that we have, we market, we promote it, we use the social network, Twitter, we use Facebook, and we do, you know, you said Amazon, iTunes, we use Spotify in Europe, anywhere we can get the music out. But, you know, it's a different world. And when I back in the day, when I was a young musician trying to, you know, the whole thing was like get a record contract, make sure that you can make a record so you can get distributed. But that world is a different world these days. You know, it's not the same. I actually have a lot of just misgivings, if you will, about the fact that I love playing music, and I think music is to be loved and fled. But, you know, nowadays trying to make it in the music business has got to be, it's just so, so hard. The one thing the Internet has done, like you said, it's kind of leveled the playing field. And it's made it so that if you could make a great record, you can get it out there with some things. But the problem is, I guess, you know, there was a day when you were working with a great engine, if you will, like Columbia Records or Warner Brothers, that can get you into all the brick and mortar, get it out there, get that big promotion machine, letting everybody know who you are. And now it's you know, the onus has been put on the artist or whoever is producing the record to get your music out there. You know, it's been fun doing it for me and this project, but, you know, bands that like the Hooters, I mean, we've kind of got hit to the fact, most of our touring these days are in Europe. Matter of fact, I'm rehearsing this week to go to Europe on, no, really, May 3rd for 2 weeks to play in Europe.
Wow.
And actually, I'm playing a show on Saturday with Bob Seger with the Hooters at Atlantic City Convention Hall. And, but we, you know, we rehearse and we market our material. Most of it, like you said, is on the Internet.
Well, you know, I'm going to be up there on, you know, the 18th of this month. Where are you playing?
The 18th of
April.
Wednesday, when is the 18th?
It's Tuesday, but I can hang out until Wednesday. You let me know where you're going to be.
Well, I'm playing Saturday. I don't know what day it is Saturday. Saturday, I'm playing in Atlantic City. So it's late. You're simply welcome. I'd love to have you. If you're in town, come to the Atlantic City Convention Center.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you something. I loved growing up in that area. I used to spend all my summers in Wildwood, and all my winters in Gibbstown, New Jersey, and you know, Fallsboro, New Jersey, all that area there.
Yeah.
And it was that was a huge part of my life. The music was the thing. Going to see Southside at the Zoo, going to see you guys, you know, I mean,
right.
it was a huge thing, man. It was huge.
Oh man, well that's nice. I mean, you know. It was a great place. It was a great time to grow up and in music. I mean, I remember the 80s in Philadelphia was just pretty unbelievable. I mean, it was really like South Street was pretty cool. And
yeah.
I remember Grendel's Lair when we used to play there. And I remember the Police playing. There were 30 people there. And it exploded, you know. And playing Emerald City. It used to be the Latin Casino.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, Diana Ross. I think I saw Frank Sinatra. I was like a kid. I saw Frank Sinatra there. I wasn't my parents or something, you know. But it turned into Emerald City, which was like just the greatest place. And it was a fun time in music. It was exciting. It was like the second British invasion, you know, with all the punk stuff and the new wave thing happened out of England. It was fun in Philly too. It was really cool.
You know, the Latin Casino. You brought up the Latin Casino.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because my dad and my uncles all talked about going to the Latin Casino to see, you know, like Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper.
Yeah.
And all those guys would go through the Latin Casino.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Sure.
It was huge.
I went to, I think it was like my senior prom I went to. They had it at the Latin Casino, and I saw the Supremes.
Wow.
Wow,
man.
Yeah, it was wild. Cool place. And then it turned into it later on I'm playing there, you know, and I remember thinking, wow, this is the Latin casinos, you know, it was the famous, infamous place. Great.
David, you know, it's been great, man, and we really, really appreciate it. And you can go to Hooters.com and find all this information out, correct?
Yeah. And I'm going to go check out Rockers in Recovery. I love what you're doing there. God bless you, man. It's really good stuff, and I'm 100% behind it, baby.
Good man. We appreciate that, David. And, of course, TheHooters.com is where you want to go. And, of course, Kevin, you got anything you want to say in closing?
I just wanted to say real quick a funny story, Dave. I don't think you remember, but I used to drive you guys around. And one time I was driving you to New York, and you guys made me pull over, and I think you drove because I was that bad of a driver.
It's the hottest new addiction recovery mega community on the web. Rockers in Recovery. Music, news, interviews, events, and festivals with an insider's angle to the rock and roll industry. All backed up by artists who are in recovery and support recovery. Featuring dozens of rock legends like former Joan Jett and the Blackhearts lead guitarist Ricky Bird, Richie Supa of Aerosmith, and tons more. It's a worldwide music and media festival at your fingertips. Get inside the rock and roll recovery scene with a click of your mouse. Click rockersinrecovery.com. That's rockersinrecovery.com.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the step. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
When you're ready for a major change, make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Our approach is all natural at G&G, where holistic treatments direct you to a healthy, sober way of life without substituting one addiction for another. We're a leader in the area of holistic addiction recovery, dual diagnosis, and relapse treatment. With 22 years of experience, we have thousands of success stories. Our staff is all in-house to help you ensure your success the all-natural, holistic way. Don't wait another minute. Call G&G Holistic right now at 800-559-9503. Counselors are standing by to start you on the all-natural road to recovery at G&G Holistic. Call 800-559-9503 or log on to holisticdrugrehab.com. Make the natural choice for addiction treatment, the G&G Holistic Addiction Treatment Program. Success, the all-natural, holistic way.
My name is Charles Beckert. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Beckert & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
The Defending Your Money show on AM 740 WSBR with Dan Ascani is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and the business, defending, building, and preserving your wealth in this tough economy. Let's spend drive time together defending your money. Listen to Dan Ascani and the Defending Your Money show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, you can always find it on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. on AM 740 WSBR and stream live and archived on www.ascaniwm.com. And Blog Talk Radio.
Seasons change and lessons get learned. It's been a while, but my heart burns this time. And that's all I do. Spend my time. Thinking about you.
are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Is the Rockers in Recovery radio show dedicated to news, interviews, events, and festivals taking place in the rock and roll industry and in the world of bands and musicians who support recovery. Find out more by going to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now, the host of Rockers in Recovery, here's John Holler.
All right. Here we are, Rockers in Recovery. We're hanging out, of course, in the WNN studios here in South Florida. I want to thank Woody Geisman, of course, of the Del Fuegos. He's on with us tonight along with Ricky Bird. And, of course, the song that we kicked this off with tonight was Still Want You from the Del Fuegos. And we look forward to having Woody on with us and talking about, of course, his music, current and past. And, of course, Ricky Bird. And this show tonight is dedicated to, of course, Ricky Bird, who is formerly of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and Roger Daltrey, and this year's musical director of the third annual Supergroup 2010 Rock and Roll Concert up there in Boston. And also, I can tell you that between Woody Geisman and, of course, Ricky Bird, there's going to be steam coming off this stage. They also have Leslie West of Mountain that's going to be there. They have Rick Derringer, and there's a lot of other folks that are going to be a part of the third annual Supergroup 2010. And, of course, with Leslie West and Rick Derringer together, it's going to be an awesome, awesome show. Ricky Bird is a musical director off the chain, and, of course, Woody Geisman on the drums, and, of course, formerly of the Del Fuegos. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome time in Boston, October the 2nd. If you get a chance, you can go to, of course, the Right Turn. It's www.right-turn.org, and check out more information. And it's the Right Turn, of course, Right Turn Treatment Addiction Services. And we look forward to finding out more about that over the next couple of weeks. Also, the event up there is being sponsored by Subaru of New England. So, because of Subaru of New England, they've been able to put together this this benefit and make it possible for people to get help. And that's what Rockers in Recovery is all about, to, you know, bring a different message of hope to all kinds of different people that are hopeless. And, of course, tonight Ricky Bird and, of course, Woody are helping us to get there. And we want to go to the phone right now. I do have Woody Geisman on the phone with me. And, Woody, how are you doing tonight?
John, hey, man, I'm doing good. Good to hear you.
You know, it's always a pleasure to come together under circumstances like this where we can promote wellness and, most importantly, better health without chemicals.
There you go, yeah. Hey, life is good without, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, when we opened up the show, we opened it with Still Want You, and, of course, you know, your musical experiences have been for years. How long have you been a musician?
Yeah, man. You know, I started out playing piano when I was 7 years old, and I made my first recordings when I was, I think I was 19. But I was playing drums on those recordings.
Okay. And did you find that through, you know, as you were going through that whole process of growing up from 7 to 19, were you really, your formative years, did you find that music was really where you wanted to be at that present point of your life?
Yeah, music was a huge part of my family, you know. My mother was a classically trained vocalist. You know, and you know, I always thought, you know, piano was my first instrument and voice was my second instrument. It's just like the guys on the block said, man, let's start a band. And they said, hey, we need a drummer. And I said, anyone can play drums, man. I ended up being okay at it, you know. So, I, you know, just carried on with it.
So it worked out. It worked out to the guys on the corner and your benefit.
I guess so.
You sat down behind the kit and you figured it out.
Yeah, well, we had a kit down in our basement anyway. Like I said, we were a pretty musical family, you know. And so there was a drum kit, and I just sat down and learn from the best, you know, Ringo Starr, you know, Charlie Watts, Keith Moon. Of course, putting on those old Jimi Hendrix records never hurt, you know.
Absolutely. And then you got down the Ringo Phil, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, the classic Ringo Phil.
Yeah.
We have some great things going on in Boston October 2nd, I understand.
You know, we're having a big show, and I'm really looking forward to it. You know, we do this every year. We call it the Super Group, and it's a bunch of super musicians, man, that come together to raise money to keep Right Turn Addiction Services open so that we can just, you know, help more people, you know.
And my understanding was in around 1989 or 1990, into the early 90s, it pretty much the musical end of the Del Fuegos came to an end for you. Is that correct? You had left the band at that point?
Well, I did, man. I left the band. I went back to Los Angeles and focused on getting, getting into recovery, man. Focused on my sobriety. I mean, I do have to say that, there was a time in 2001 or 2002, maybe it was 2000, when the Del Fuegos called me back up and asked me to do the last tour, and they were going to retire the name. So I jumped back in the saddle for one more tour.
How was that experience, Trevor?
Well, that was the cool part of it, man, is that, you know, when I got sober and when the rest of the band found out that, you know, it kind of shocked them into sobriety, too, you know. And so when I came back, it was like I was playing with a bunch of sober guys, man. And it was incredible because, you know, I said, you know, I'll come back and play as long as we don't argue about money and as long as we just kind of, you know, do it for music, you know. And it ended up being the best experience.
And
great stuff, man.
And if you think about the process of this, it's almost like a family unit. Because, you know, I know in my family unit, my brother, the middle brother, was the one that got sober first, and then, like, everybody followed. So, I you know, and again, it's like that family unit. A band is like a family unit almost.
Absolutely, man. And it's the gift that just keeps giving.
That's beautiful, isn't it? How it works. And what got you to the point where you said to yourself, you know something, I want to be a part of and become the CEO and the founder of Right Turn Addiction Services?
Well, you know, I mean that's a good question, and I think the only way I can really answer that is to say that, you know, my cell phone would not stop ringing. People were calling me up and saying, you know, all of this. You know, the budget in Massachusetts had been cut. Detoxes were closing. Programs were shutting down. People were calling me up and saying, what do I do? What do I do, man? And so I would say, you know, where are you? Let me come and talk to you. And I'd go over to them, you know, help pour out their booze and or whatever they were doing, flush whatever had to be flushed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, the need just became so too big, and I you know, this wonderful psychologist from Mass General Hospital, Dr. Ann Alonzo, God rest her soul, said, Woody, I hear what you're doing. And she wrote me a check. She said, let's open an office and just see what happens, man. I turned on the phone, and the phone just started ringing, and it wouldn't stop. And so I moved it into a full clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm proud to say today that just out of necessity, man, just out of trying, you know, it was just a sense of responsibility that I felt that I had to kind of answer this need. Today we have, you know, two of the finest doctors in the New England area. We have 9 therapists. We run 28 support groups on a weekly basis, man. We're open 7 days a week. You know, I mean, it's the place to be if you need a good meeting, man. It's and on Saturday nights we have live clean and sober performances.
Is that every Saturday night?
Performances.
Every Saturday night you do that?
Yeah, pretty much every Saturday night, man. The place fills up, and we have, you know, we put on a, we have a little, so you know, kind of like a sober cafe, you know.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Yeah, man.
And Woody, what, through this, it sounds like you started to experience that, you know, everything was falling into place and you were watching God's fingerprint across the board here. And now you're in a position where, and we had spoken about this the first time we talked, that, you know, in some cases, of course, insurances are going to pay for things, but in a lot of cases, you know, you don't have that luxury and people are coming to you off the streets. And that's why this the third annual supergroup 2010 Rock and Roll Concert is there to be able to help and provide those services, correct?
Absolutely, man. And I think that, you know, we're all in agreement that, you know, I mean, if your story is anything like mine, you know, and it probably is, that is a little bit of help went a long ways with me, you know. And for someone like Simon Kirk from Bad Company, who's one of the original members of the supergroup, he's been with us every year. Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is the original member of the supergroup. Ricky Bird, who's an amazing, amazing person, amazing musician, amazing, you know, guiding light here. You know, it doesn't take much for them to give back a little bit here, and it means so much to so many people.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because there is so many people that are involved with this. You know, you have Leslie West of Mountain, you have Rick Derringer. Again, you know, Ricky Bird is the musical director of this whole of the whole supergroup 2010, and has been, from my understanding. And
Ricky Bird was came on board from the very start, man. And he said, "Let me just help design the show." You know, we brought Chuck Berry in for the first year. We brought Alice Cooper in last year, along with Ace Frehley. You know, I had the privilege of working with the Rolling Stones. I met Chuck Lavelle on tour. We became very good friends. He joined us for a group a couple of years ago, as well as Tim Reeves, who's the horn player with the Rolling Stones. You know, the list just keeps going, man. I got to tell you, Alice Cooper was one of the greatest guys last year. What an amazing guy, you know, and very open about his story. You know, I think he has like 27 years of sobriety, man.
Yeah.
You know, what an amazing guy.
Well, you got Elliot Easton, right, of the Cars. He's going to be there this year, too. Yeah.
It's almost like we have Guitar Heroes going on here,
man.
It's
unbelievable,
you know?
Man. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And Barry Goudreau from Boston, formerly of Boston, you know?
And you have also Chef Casey from Southside Johnny and Bon Jovi on the keys, which is
absolutely
pretty
wow.
Incredible stuff. Well, what's the deal with Ernie and the Automatics and the Stompers? What's up with the two warm-up bands?
Yeah, well, Ernie and the Automatics. The Automatics is actually the band Boston.
Okay.
You know, a couple of the musicians from formerly known as Boston, man. And you know, Ernie's just this great guy, man. And you know, they've been with us every year as well, you know. Unfortunately, the Stompers are not going to be able to make it. We just heard it today.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. But, you know, maybe next year. They're a great old Boston band, and it was all the original members that were coming together. But just whatever happened, and they can't make it. So. But that's cool, man. But we have an amazing show, and Lynn Hoffman from A&E is coming out to host the event.
Yeah, private sessions, right?
Yeah.
You can check that. She's on A&E on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
She's an amazing person, yeah.
Yeah, I've watched her on her shows, and she's very eloquent in the way that she does her interviews and how she hosts her show. She's a very nice lady.
beautiful woman, I got to tell you.
So you have lots of talent here, Woody, and the good news is that we're going to carry a message of hope and in a great, fabulous way, and we're going to be able to help people that might not necessarily be able to get help. You're going to be able to open the doors to them because of the benefits from this. And, you know, kudos to you and, of course, Ricky Bird and Leslie West and Rick Derringer and all of the rest of the folks that are a part of this supergroup event. What I want to do is ask you to hold for me. We're going to go to a commercial. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the event and some music that you're working on right now currently.
All right.
All right, hold on one second. All right.
Canaprol is a new joint and muscle pain relief drug. The combination of all natural herbs and Canaprol works synergistically to reduce the swelling of joints, inflammation, and effectively block chronic pain receptors in the brain without disrupting the pain signals that warn you that a new injury has occurred. Finally, there's an all-natural alternative to dangerous prescription pain relievers. Canaprol is clinically tested and proven totally safe with no known side effects or drug interactions. In a clinical study of 75 patients, 100% were pain-free after 14 days of using the product. Pain relief so effective, you'll never go another day without it. If you're not amazed at the results you receive when taking Canaprol as directed over the period of 90 days, you'll get a full refund for every bottle purchased, less shipping and handling. It's guaranteed. You have nothing to lose but your pain. Plus, you get the first two bottles for just the cost of shipping, just $5.95. For more information, go online to Canaprol.com. That's Canaprol.com. Or call toll-free, 877-500-5529. That's 877-500-5529. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product does not intend to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Good mental health is key to a happy and fulfilling life. But when it's compromised by addiction or a psychiatric disorder, the only solution is professional help. Atlantic Shores Hospital is a private substance abuse and psychiatric facility offering a complete range of mental health services, including adult inpatient mental health care, adult inpatient substance abuse, dual diagnosis, and detox from substance abuse. Atlantic Shores Hospital has helped hundreds in our community to get on the road to recovery and reclaim their lives. Call Atlantic Shores Hospital today, toll-free, 888-771-2711. That's 888-771-2711. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Online at AtlanticShoresHospital.com. They're located at 4545 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. Atlantic Shores Hospital, serving South Florida for 20 years. Family members, you can't wait any longer. Call today, toll-free, 888-771-2711 for a free consultation. Atlantic Shores Hospital, treatment for change.
My name is Charles Becker. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident due to the negligence of another, care enough to hire Becker & Associates to protect your rights. We are an AV-rated law firm and have 45 years of combined experience. We are all former prosecutors and have all worked for the insurance companies, so we know what they're up to. They have their attorneys, and so should you. When involved in an accident, remember, you may be entitled to $10,000 in medical or lost wages under your PIP policy. In addition, you may receive payments for your pain, suffering, or for the suffering of a loved one. Contact us at 954-941-8363 or visit us on the web at southfloridaattorney.com.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
You are listening to the Rockers in Recovery radio show. To learn more about the broadcast, go to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now back to today's show. Once again, your host, John Hall.
Welcome back, Rockers in Recovery, and of course, we're on the air with Woody Eastman of the Del Fuegos, formerly of the Del Fuegos, and of course, the band was retired in 2001, is that what you said, Woody?
Well, you know, I think so, man. I mean, I don't know if we ever actually split up, man. I think we just kind of burnt out. So, I mean, there's a chance that, you know, we're talking about maybe doing some reunion stuff in the future.
That's beautiful.
But, You know, who knows, man? Life is full of surprises.
Yes, it is. One day at a time.
You know, I mean, look where my buddy Simon Kirk is these days, man. He got back with his old bandmates there in Bad Company, and they're like, they're doing really well. They're all getting along real well, and they're playing great music.
Yeah, they started, you know, I happen to see him down here at the Hollywood, the Hard Rock in Hollywood, and it was amazing. And that was 2009, and what a great show. What a great show. And
amazing stuff, yeah.
So, you know, some of the day-to-time miracles happen. What are you working on now?
What am I working on?
Yeah,
musically.
Yeah, what are you working on?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, like I said, I started out playing piano years ago, and then I picked up the drums and made quite a career of it and went around the world playing drums for many, many years. And as kind of, you know, in my recovery, making an amends to myself here, I decided to get back to the piano. You know, I always wanted to get back to the keyboard, get back to tickling the keys there, man. And so I started writing songs and started taking some time to get back to the piano. And I'm this week I'm actually mixing an album of 10 songs that I recorded and performed live, actually, in At Right Turn. It's a live 16-track recording, an amazing recording, in front of an audience at Right Turn.
And that's during the Saturday night shows?
During the Saturday night shows, but we basically brought in a recording studio. I mean, we have the capacity to record, but we brought in a major recording system.
Wow.
And, you know, the band just sat. We really captured the magic, man. I'm playing piano and singing songs that I've written about recovery, man, about addiction, about the dark side of my addiction, as well as, I mean, there is one cover song on it, man. I play a Stevie Wonder tune called, you may or may not remember, it's an old tune called Have a Talk with God. Great old tune.
It was like 70s. That was the beginning, like 70 or 70.
Yeah, man, long time ago.
Yeah.
The drummer in the band, who's John Cohan, he actually engineered the last Red Hot Chili Peppers record. I think he's working on the new one coming up here as well. Great drummer, a great friend. He said, hey, man, we got to try this song. And so we ended up recording it that night.
You know, it's
so, yeah, the song is being mixed next week. By the end of this week it'll be mixed. So I have to get some copies out to you guys.
I would love it. I would love it. And we'd love to have you back on when you're getting ready to release it. So that way we can let our listeners hear it and hear what you're doing. And, you know,
Absolutely. Get them into a little premiere party on your show.
Oh, I would love that. We would appreciate it. Rockers in Recovery loves the fact that we can carry a message of hope. This is really a platform, Woody, that we've, you know, put together for musicians that are either in recovery or support recovery, that are either known or not known, that have a platform to be able to, you know, bring their art to, and that's what our whole mission is. And, you know, we're not a glum lot. We can have fun in recovery.
Well, you see, I mean, I think that's a great message, too, man, is that we need to be able to let these people know that if you get clean and sober, that you can actually do your best work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was one of those guys that wondered if I could ever get back up on the stage again, you know, and play, you know, play my heart out. And the fact of the matter is the answer is yes, man. I've never played better in my life, and sobriety is the way to go, you know?
And
I think that you probably experienced the same thing that I experienced, man. There were times, you know, when I was walking on stage at Madison Square Garden on the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers tour, man, and I went out and played what I thought was a great show, and the fact of the matter is my whole head was wrapped up in the idea of I needed to get through the show so I could get back to the dressing room so I could, you know, continue to high, you know. And I don't think I, you know, although I might have been giving a pretty good performance, it wasn't my best, man, because it wasn't my priority, you know.
In the enjoyment of it, you know, that you feel today and the sense of enjoyment that you get from the spirit of it all, I'm there like it is today.
Absolutely.
You know, Woody Eastman, you are a great guy. I'm so glad that you've been on the show tonight. And I want to ask you to give out your information for people that might not be able to make the event, where they could send any type of donation to help out your cause in Boston at Right Turn.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And if you go to our website, which is right-turn.org, and that's right-turn.org, right, like a right turn as opposed to a wrong turn. If you know, you don't have to come to the concert in order to give to the cause. You can go right to our website, man, and you can make a donation right on the website, or you can send a check. If you want to buy tickets and sponsor tickets for someone who, you know, may not be able to afford coming to the concert, we'll make sure that those tickets get to good use, you know. These shows usually sell out pretty quickly, but we always like to make sure that everyone gets a seat, you know.
What is the address they can send it to?
Yeah, and that's Right Turn is at 299 Broadway in Arlington, Massachusetts, 02474.
All right, very good. And one of the things that, Woody, that I wanted to also talk to you about is October 2nd. What time does it start and what time does it end?
Yeah, the doors open at 6 o'clock. If you're one of the people who buys one of the bigger VIP tickets, there's going to be a meet and greet at 5 o'clock. You can hang out with and meet all the band members. The show kicks off at 7 o'clock with Ernie and the Automatics and Lynn Hoffman and the whole crew there. Plus, we have a few other surprises, man. I know it already seems like a big show, but, man, there's a few other big surprises coming down the pike as well. So, the super group will be hitting the stage by, 8, 9 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Play for a few hours, you know, along with Rick Derringer and, of course, the amazing Leslie West.
It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, man.
I'm looking forward to being in Boston and meeting you and shaking your hand and hanging out with you and getting to know Right Turn a little bit more. And maybe I can get in the day before and check out I'd really like to check out Right Turn itself. I can't wait to see it. I really feel good about it.
Oh, man, I want to show you. You know, we work really hard to make a comfortable place for people to walk through the door, feel at home, hand them their dignity back, you know, and say welcome, you know.
Well, you know,
help them feel good about themselves maybe for the first time in a while.
I love it. I love the concept. I love what you're doing, and I love the work that you're doing. Woody Geisman.
Thanks, John.
You are a great man. We thank you for, being the founder and the forefront of helping people in Boston that probably wouldn't have gotten the help if you weren't there to be able to help them. So we want to thank you very much for that.
Thanks, John, man. I really appreciate it.
And we'll talk through the week, definitely. And, of course, we're going to go to our next break. And when we come back, we're going to have Ricky Berg from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, formerly of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and Roger Daltrey. We'll be back right after this message. Again, Woody, thank you for being on the show.
Good mental health is key to a happy and fulfilling life. But when it's compromised by addiction or psychiatric disorder, the only solution is professional help. Atlantic Shores Hospital is a private substance abuse and psychiatric facility offering a complete range of mental health services, including adult inpatient mental health care, adult inpatient substance abuse, dual diagnosis, and detox from substance abuse. Atlantic Shores Hospital has helped hundreds in our community to get on the road to recovery and reclaim their lives. Call Atlantic Shores Hospital today, toll free, 888-771-2711. That's 888-771-2711. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Online at AtlanticShoresHospital.com. They're located at 4545 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. Atlantic Shores Hospital, serving South Florida for 20 years. Family members, you can't wait any longer. Call today, toll free, 888-771-2711 for a free consultation. Atlantic Shores Hospital, treatment for change.
You are listening to the Rockers in Recovery Radio Show.
To learn more about the broadcast, go to HolisticLifestylesRadio.com or join Rockers in Recovery on Facebook. Now back to today's show. Once again, your host, John Hall.
The 12-step their theory about not making any of this public and being anonymous, I mean, you would assume that for public people, talking about being sober, and then, you know, they go out and people do slip, you know, and then other people saying, well, I guess that doesn't work, you know, but it's a day at a time, you know. People stay sober for 25 years and stop going to meetings and something bad happens, and sometimes I guess it doesn't. Bad things don't happen, you know, it's individual.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right, but I also know that, you know, if I'm not on, you know, one of the things I never do is announce myself as a particular 12-step fellowship. You know, I'm in recovery, and I'm a member of a 12-step program, but I don't announce what 12-step program I'm part of. So, and, you know, I don't.
Well, I mean, I talk amongst my friends, but you know, I don't stand up on a pedestal and say where I go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you know, if somebody, I tell you one thing, I started doing a long time ago when I was on the road. Back with Jet, you know, in 87 when I first came into the rooms, you know, I was kind of alone in that situation with a lot of people that weren't particularly sober one way or another.
You were blazing the path back then.
What's that?
You were blazing the path back then.
Well, you know, I don't know what that means, but I was trying to stay sober in an you know, unsober community. I mean, just being in a rock and roll band back in 87 was still pretty new for the, you know, the rehab sobriety path that a lot of people take now. And, you know, I immediately got myself a little medallion, actually it was an AA medallion, and I would wear it, and I would wear it on planes, or I would wear it, you know, in concerts. And you can't believe how many letters I've gotten. Or on the back of an album cover or something, discreetly, you know, just hanging from my neck like a piece of jewelry. How many letters I've gotten from kids, I mean, back then they were kids, you know, oh, I can't believe I saw that. It's just a power of example to know that, you know, you could be in that situation and still remain sober. Or you'd be walking through an airport, you know, and you're feeling a little fidgety. And, of course, you know, when musicians go to airports, you know, you get a long time in between flights, somehow you wind up at the bar, no? So, you know, you can't believe when you're wearing one of those things, you walk in and somebody goes, hey, friend of Bill's.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't really care, you know. It's like, look, I don't wear a sign. I don't carry, you know, a banner or anything like that. But I will freely talk to anybody who sees my little medallion, and I wear it. It's a piece of jewelry, and I'm proud of it. Who cares?
Absolutely. I love it. You are getting ready to do an undertaking with the third annual supergroup, and, of course, you're part of the first one and the second one, and now, of course, the musical director of the third one.
Well, I was the musical director of last year's and this one. The first one, I was Simon Kirk called me and asked me if I wanted to get involved, and that's how I met Woody.
Mm-hmm.
I might have passed, I think we talked about this. I mean, we must have passed, you know, on the road somewhere back in the day, but, you know, who the hell remembers? Ships in the night, as they say.
At least you didn't collide.
No, we might have. I don't remember. I mean, there were a lot of long nights, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I got involved with it. The first one was with Chuck Berry, and last year we had an amazing one with Alice Cooper and Ace Frehley. And we always have a top-notch show, Supergroup, and this year is going to be unbelievable. And so I'm in the middle. I'm at the you know, pretty much at the beginning. I'm sending songs out to the band. We have an amazing band, the super group. I guess Woody just talked about all that, no?
Well, Woody talked about, you know, the overall big picture of it and the working mechanism. Of course, you're putting that together. You're the one that's making that, you know, that musical information available and where you're really going with this, and that's really, you know, I want to spend a couple of minutes on where you're taking it.
I'm the Lawrence Welk of recovery, that's right.
I love it.
yeah, we put together a great band. We have Chad Smith, who's been with us the last 3 years, which Red Hot Chili Peppers on drums.
Mm-hmm.
We have my buddy Kasim Sultan, who played bass with me during the 80s with Jet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also was a, you know, founding member with Todd Rundgren of the band Utopia. Also played with Meatloaf for years and years. And he was actually in the New Cars 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So that's Kaz on bass. That's the rhythm section. On guitar, we have Barry Goudreau from the band Boston. We have Elliot Easton, my old pal from the Cars. We have also on guitar and general vibe master is my pal Richie Supa, who is my songwriting mentor. Like, I write songs with a lot of people, and sometimes I'm the lead dog, but when I write with Richie Supa, he's the lead dog. And I sponge off of him, you know, I mean, pick up the tips of how to write great songs. We've been friends 30 years, and we've seen the light and the dark. Or the dark and the light, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he'll be with us, and me and Richie are going to be in between Ernie and the Automatics and the Supergroup. We're going to do a couple of cool songs acoustically.
Sorry.
Well, let me finish off. I'll finish about the band first. We have Jeff Kazee on the keyboards. Jeff Kazee plays with Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. Amazing keyboard player, great singer. Also plays sometimes with Bon Jovi. Sometimes fills in for Paul Schaefer. Just an amazing talent, great rock and roll guy. Let's see, we got James Montgomery on the harp and vocals, famous blues cat.
Mm-hmm.
Played with many of people, many of blues, a blues legend. And who else we got? We got a great horn section, some local cats from Boston, Scott and John Arruda, and Paul, which I can't remember his last name because he just joined up.
Okay.
So we'll have to check that and get back on that one.
Yeah, because I don't have him on the list, actually.
Yeah, he's brand new. The other guy couldn't make it, so we got a third guy. And who else do we have? Did I go through the whole band? Please let me know. Oh, three great female background singers that were with us last year. Tremendous voices, not hard to look at, and very lovely ladies.
You have actually, you have...
I feel like I missed somebody.
Actually, Tim Pike.
Tim Pike. How could I forget Tim? Right. Tim is a great soul rock and roll singer. So he's been with us the last 3 years, and this year I called him up and I said, and he's a great guitar player. And I said, I need you to be a lead singer. I need Mick Jagger. Leave your guitar home. There's three guitar players. We do not need another guitar player. So I just want you to be, you know, be Mick, be Steven Tyler, be anybody you want, be Tim Pike, but leave the guitar home.
You know, one of the things that Woody said, it was like the Guitar Heroes Supergroup 2010.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And I said to him, let's make it real guitar heavy this year. And of course, the special guests are Rick Derringer and Leslie West. Leslie West, I'm a really good friend with for a long time, and Rick Derringer, I know him from a long time ago. We haven't hung out in years and years. And you know, just remember, I have had a lot of success in the music business with Jet and playing with Roger Daltrey and touring with Ian Hunter and Southside Johnny and, you know, lots of people. But I'm still the 14-year-old kid that went to see The Who, you know, at Forest Hills Tennis Stadium and Zeppelin at the Garden and you know, Leslie West and Mountain at the Academy of Music on 14th Street at St. John's University here in New York, you know, and used to go to Manny's Music Store on 48th Street, famous music store. It's been gone about 2 years. And what we used to do is back then we would know when a band was playing in town, us kids would know that the band themselves would go down to Manny's to pick up instruments. You know, these days most people probably send their crew to go pick stuff up. But back then, you know, if you knew 10 years after it was playing in town, you'd go down to Manny's on the day of the show and you know Alvin Lee would be there trying out guitars. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff I did with Leslie West. I mean, I was a kid that loved Leslie West guitars, his guitar playing, and I loved Mountain, and the same with Derringer. I mean, Edgar Winter's White Trash, Johnny Winter End. I mean, I'm a fan of those guys, man. Now, I played Mississippi Queen with Rick, Leslie on stage, and, you know, we hung out and we were friends, but I've never played rock and roll freaking Hoochie Coo with Rick Derringer, and so that's going to be something, baby. Oh, I have a big-ass smile on my face. I mean, I'm a fan.
I was talking to Woody about it. It's like, you know, we got to wake up some days, and you know, every day that we don't use, and every day that we get, you know, another day, we can pinch ourselves. You know, and that's how I am. You know, like, pinch me. I can't believe my life is actually where it's at today compared to where it was.
And you know what, dude? I had a pretty big life when I was using. I was on the road in a band with a number one record and played every stadium in this country, traveled around the world 3 times. You know, it was a pretty big, grandiose life. But I swear to you, as I'm sitting here, I miss so much of it. I mean, I wasn't present for a lot of it. I spent lots of long nights, you know, or I mean, it was basically the setup was the same. You know, you would play your gig, you'd go back to the hotel, you'd start at the bar, and then you'd wind up in your room with a bunch of people, and you'd use all night, you know, crawl onto a bus the next day, or you'd get on a bus and use all through the trip for 8 hours to the next town. I tell you, there's nothing like being up all night on certain substances, pulling into a hotel at 7 in the morning when businessmen are leaving to go to meetings, and you're standing at the desk waiting for the hotel keys, bleary-eyed, heart beating out of your chest. And I'm sure there's people listening that the hairs are going up on their arms right now. You know, nose bleeding, whatever your thing was, hungover. I don't have to do that anymore.
And, you know, when you think about it, and you were talking about Richie Supa, when you think about that lifestyle and part of the show, you were talking about in between sets that you and Richie were going to get together. Is that going to kind of be geared towards some of the music you guys are working on right now?
Well, yeah, that's right. Let's get back to that. So before the Super Group comes on, Supa and myself are going to get on stage with acoustic guitars. We're going to do In the Rooms, which probably your listeners know already, a great song Richie wrote. And we're going to do something that me and Richie wrote, which I don't know if it's going to be on my record, because that's what I'm working on now, but it might just be a great standalone piece, which I will release, you know, on iTunes and you know, I'll play it on your show and you know, put it out there. Something called Broken is a Place.
Wow.
And the song came about because I'm coming up on 23 years sober in September. And it's funny because I've been saying lately 24 years. I guess I'm sober, but I'm an idiot in math. But I got sober in September 25th. And you know what happens is you know, I'll turn 23 and then I start joking and I say, yeah, I'm in my 24th year of sobriety. And somehow I just got confused. But it's officially 23 years. Well, what's a year amongst friends? You know, a couple of months ago, I had, as people do if you're around long enough, you have moments where you're doubting things and sometimes you're happy, joyous, and free, sometimes you're depressed, sometimes you're anxious, sometimes you're frustrated, and the whole key to it is you don't use through any of those feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, glad to say.
Don't say you're not going to feel anything. That's the whole point. You want to feel. So I was kind of on the low end of the spectrum, and I went down to Florida to write with Richie a couple of songs for my record. You know, and he's a great influence, and I just needed to get away for a couple of days and just, you know, hang, do some music. And
that was last September, right? That was last September, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe it was. It was the same. Yeah, it was the week that I did the thing with him.
Yeah, Rally for
Recovery.
That
was last September.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was in September, so it's almost a year. And, yeah, well, that was part of my trip also. He asked me to do that. The, what was it officially called?
The Rally for Recovery. It was the
Rally for Recovery. Inner
Rooms Rally for Recovery. It was really great.
That's right. And, God, was it hot that day, but that's a whole other story. and it's interesting how life goes by. A great friend of mine and my wife is a very famous music publicist, and she started out working with KISS back in the late 70s, early 80s, right at their first couple of albums. And her mentor was a guy named Bill LaCoyne, and he was KISS's manager. He's the guy that put that whole thing together with the makeup and everything. A great guy, and she's been talking to him. That's her mentor for every day for like 20 years. And anyway, he just passed away last month, and strangely enough, when we were down there, when we were on our way to that rally, I called him because he lived down there, and I said, "Hey, man, why don't you come down and see, you know?" And he had been to. He said, he basically said, "Oh, it's too hot, I can't go." But I was thinking about that at the funeral, you know, that I called him and I talked to him on the phone. I think that might have been the last time I talked to him, anyway. But to move on to happier things. So I went down and I wrote with Richie. We sat around and I told him how I was feeling. And we came up with this song, Broken is a Place I've Already Been. So that's like, you know, I'm not going back, in other words. We will premiere that song.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it's in the stage. It was just mixed. And we're going to master it, which means, to the people that don't know about recording, you mix the song. You know, you record the song, then you mix it, which means you put everything in the right spot and you make sure everything's not too loud here and not too low there and the sound is right. And then you put a sheen on it, mastering for release, which means you kind of squish it down to a compression and make it sound right for radio. So that's the next step. And once we do that in the next 2 weeks, it'll be done before the gig. We will... you know, I'll call you again, and we'll play the song on there, and, you know, see if everybody loves it.
You know, something we really appreciate. And, you know, you and Richie have supported our show ever since, and I'll give everybody a little story before we have to close out. You know, I was doing my first live broadcast last year in September, and it was hot as hell out. And it was probably about 115 degrees. We were all
brutal hot, man.
It was all out in the middle of a field in Miami, and I was dying. It was my first broadcast. I was nervous as hell, and you know, Ricky put his arm around me and he said, "Don't worry about it, kid. We're going to get through this."
And you know what? I wouldn't even have known that you were nervous. I mean, well, first of all, you know. It's radio, so nobody can see you sweating, so don't worry about it. That's the first thing.
Well,
no makeup needed.
I was going to say, I got a face for radio, Ricky.
Yeah, okay, nice one. But, no, you were fabulous. You asked the right questions, you know, and I hopefully gave the right answers.
Yeah.
And you know, and I've been doing this a long time, so, you know, it's like they used to say about George Burns and Gracie Allen. They would ask him, you know, how did the interviews go when you and Gracie would do an interview? And George Burns would say, "I would just ask her, how's your brother? And she talked for 20 minutes." And that's the same with me. Just ask me one question, and I'll just tell you my whole life story.
I love it.
It's just, that's just the way I am.
Well, you know something? We are so happy that, you know, you were on the show tonight, and most importantly, that you dedicate your time and your service to the things that you dedicate your time and service to, because they help a lot of people. And, of course, the Supergroup 2010 on October the 2nd in Boston.
Yeah, it's going to be smoking, man.
It's going to be off the chain. I want everybody to go to, of course, www.right-turn.org and check out the information there. You can also go to, of course, Rockers in Recovery on Facebook and look at it there. And you can also check out Ricky on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on my Facebook page. I've been in the process of scanning all of my pictures from my private photo albums, because who sees them? They're sitting in the photo album.
Mm-hmm.
For my whole career, and I slowly have been putting. There's got to be a few hundred pictures of it.
Dude, I seen. I went through them. I seen.
It's classic. Of me pre-sobriety and after sobriety.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, a couple of bleary-eyed pictures. But one last thing about October 2nd is the way this thing works is the supergroup plays for an hour before we bring on Derringer and Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
So I am picking. I made a decision to make it. Music from the time zone when I was a teenager, and those guys were the guys I would go to see in concert, right? So without giving too much away, you know, we'll be doing stuff like, you know, Tell the Truth by Derek and the Dominoes and, you know, Suffragette City. Just really cool. I mean, I'm just going through my iPod, and I got a pretty tight set of 10, 12 songs that I think everybody's going to love. It's all that stuff. That, you know, when FM radio first started, we would sit up and listen to, you know, here in New York, you know, Scott Muni on WNEW FM. And hear all that cool album stuff. Not the obvious hits, but the really cool stuff by, like, you know, Rod Stewart and the Faces and Cream and, you know, that kind of jazz. It's going to be great.
Ricky, thank you so much. touch. I am so excited. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to see you.
Can't wait to see you. Are you going to be doing interviews that night, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, excellent.
Absolutely. I want
so
to
now that you've done this for a while, you're going to be all cocky and stuff, right?
No, no. Actually, you know what you guys have taught me, both you and Richie, is you better stay humble because, you know, it's all about one day at a time.
Well, yeah, and also once you think you know what you're doing, you're bound to slip up.
I love you, bro. All right. We'll talk soon. Hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Rockers in Recovery. We're out for the night. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know I did.
Thank you for listening to the Holistic Lifestyles Radio Show. This program is sponsored by Holistic Lifestyles Radio Incorporated. Join us every day right here on AM 1470 WNN. You can also find us on our Twitter podcast, Facebook, and blogtalkradio.com. For more information about the show and our sponsors, be sure to visit our website, HolisticLifestylesRadio.com. That's HolisticLifestylesRadio.com.
This is Ricky Bird, and I love my sound pillow. This is Ricky Bird, and I am a rocker in recovery, and I love to listen to Rockers in Recovery on rockersinrecovery.com. In the fast-paced world we live in, it's hard to find a company that has an impeccable reputation based on professional skill and knowledge, coupled with a strong work ethic, honesty, and integrity. Welcome to the world of Canatelli Builders Incorporated. Specialists in custom residential and commercial construction for three generations, CBI finishes the job as agreed and on time. Browse our website at www.canatellibuilders.com, read the testimonials, then call us at 954-977-2775 and let us add your name to our list of satisfied customers. While at the site, be sure to follow the link for complete information about Chinese drywall and what it may mean to you. Integrity, ethics, honesty, knowledge, performance, service, experience, Canatelli Builders, 954-277-2775. Canatelli Builders, the official contractor for the Florida Panthers.
If you have a passion for helping people, you may be a perfect candidate to become a certified addiction professional. And there's no better place than the Academy for Addiction Professionals in Fort Lauderdale. The Academy for Addiction Professionals is nationally certified to train you as a certified addiction counselor, certified addiction specialist, or certified behavioral health technician. You can even take online continuing education courses. You will have access to cutting-edge resources, important certification updates, trends in the behavioral health field, and you can network with other addiction professionals. Turn your passion into your profession. Contact the Academy for Addiction Professionals in Fort Lauderdale, 877-824-0001. That's 877-824-0001 or online at www.addictionacademy.com.
The Reyes Law Group, defending your property.
Law Talk Radio.
Paying an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. Ask for free written information about the firm's qualifications and experience.
WWNA, Pompano Beach.
AM 1470 with even more of what you're looking for. Tune in for All Points Bulletin with Sheriff Al Lamberti, Sunday afternoons at 2, right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Many people think of life insurance simply as being there to protect your loved ones after you have passed on. This is Bob Reich from MedLife. It is important for you to understand that life insurance can provide many benefits while you are still alive. Pension planning, providing additional tax-free income to supplement your retirement lifestyle. Freeing up assets for your beneficiaries, allowing you to use your present assets to increase the quality of your present lifestyle while still being able to provide a legacy to those you love. And finally, term insurance, which can offer low-cost protection for a limited, specified time period, such as when your kids are up, out, and on their own. Call me anytime. I would be glad to answer any questions you might have. My number is 866-282-3704. That's 866-282-3704.
Regular listeners to Peter Bruno's long-running daily radio show, Managing Your Money, know about its original form of research analysis called psychoanalysis. This unique system, designed to watch and analyze stock market movement behavior in advance, has guided listeners and clients safely from the market high in the 14,000 area 2 years ago, all the way down to the previous lows below the Dow 6500, just as he protected his clients from the crash of 1987 and...
WWMA, Pompano Beach.
The following sponsored program are strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Just fall today.
Disappear. But until that day, I have to see. Thank you.
And, you know, that, of course, came out of a time of great loss in my life, not only losing my longtime mate of many, many, many years, really my husband, but also a lead guitarist who just died suddenly in his sleep. And then realizing that there was so much around me that was positive. I think it's a very bittersweet record, but all in all, I also think it's sort of a triumphant record, and it's more of a record about the many sides of love than it is about the loss of love. But, you know, these are things that I think everyone can identify with and does have in their life, and I think it's always important to remember that, especially even just with these weather events of the last couple of weeks and the last month or so, important to remember how fortunate we are. And to count, I mean, it's an old saying, but to count your blessings every day.
You are absolutely 100% right. Because, you know, when I sit down and I start to falter, and I don't care, you're human, you're going to. I mean, anybody that doesn't and says they don't, you know, I run away from those type of people.
Yeah.
Because in reality is we're going to hit those low points in life. But when you start to look around, you know, I did a benefit today. Actually, it's going to be playing at 9 o'clock tonight for children with disabilities. And we went and we broadcasted live. A couple of the bands that I work with down there actually donated their time today and went and played at it. But one of the things that I got from that, there was – kid named Sean that they rolled up in a wheelchair. And let me tell you something. He was 9 years old.
Yeah.
And here
yeah.
he is in a wheelchair and he can't even move. And he's got a spine that is this like a snake. And,
yep.
I mean, it's just I'm sitting and I'm thinking to myself, I have kids myself. By the grace of God, my children aren't in that position. But most
yep.
importantly, who am I to complain about the little things that are going on in my life because I'm not happy about them? Look at what's
yep.
going on right in front of you.
Exactly, John. Exactly. So it really is a wake-up call, and, you know, for all of us, although, you know, I will freely admit, and I know you will too, that sometimes when the dark, you know, the turnaround, the dark corner, and it's staring you in the face, it sometimes is hard to remember that there are joyful things in your life too. But, you know, every morning is a new morning, and this is what I say, and every morning is a new morning, and, you know, when you wake up, make it a better day. You know, I mean, we all fall down at times, but make it a better day. And this is why we have the support network. You know, this is why we support each other.
Well, and I think I'm really, you know, at a position in my life today that I can see where if I didn't have that network of friends, that in those bleaker times or those moments of indecision or those moments where I might be lacking in faith, I have to be able to say to these people, and a lot of times I don't even have to say it to them. They know me
yeah.
so well, they're just saying it to me. Hey, John, you okay?
Yep.
You know, and you're able to go to that next level, and that's where the honesty part about this is. And that's why the music, when I listen to your music, you can hear the honesty of your heart in your music.
Oh, thank you.
Because it's coming from a point where you just put it all out on the table. Hey, listen, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. And
yes.
when you do that, I believe that not only are you going to capture the spirit of another person, because I believe that all music is spiritual.
Yes.
And I believe that, you know, there's either a negative spirit or a positive spirit. I truly believe that. But in this particular situation, it's that grieving process that you went through that was that enabled you to touch a spot in people that is very unique, because you were able to get honest about your own grieving. You didn't just,
yeah.
like, bury it, like, you know, like, stuff it down and, okay, everything is going to be wonderful. You
yeah,
dealt
no,
with
really,
it.
And boy, you know, there is that temptation, and I know we all know it, you know. But if you're a songwriter, it's going to come to the surface anyway, and that's, I think, the important thing about a lot of this being an artistic, a network where artists support each other, too, and where we support fans and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to admit that fact, you know, that you know, I really had to get on the stick, and I knew I had to write a complete record. You know, so thank you so much for saying that you think it's a totality, and you know, that's what I was going for. So thank you so much.
Well, you hit it right on the head. The other thing that's amazing to me is that by the time you were 16 years old, because this is like that's amazing. By the time you
yeah,
were 16
well, my brother
years old,
and I had a band. You know, that's. And my parents were really supportive. God bless them. They're, you know, they're both gone, as we've talked about. But they supported us, and we had a band. And then we met this producer in New York. And the next thing you know, we had ourselves a little rock and roll record. We were on a label called Mainstream, which also had the Amboy Dukes, which was Ted Nugent's first band.
Yeah.
So.
When you went through that experience at 16, and I know from when I was, you know, at that age, you know, 13, 15, 17,
yeah.
when you're going through that age, you kind of tend to, as things are happening to you, you tend to take them for granted. You're not, like, really grateful. I know I wasn't. I'm not going to speak for you, but I know for me.
Oh, no, I wasn't, yeah.
You know, how did you feel about it at that point in your life?
You know, at the point in time, things were really moving fast, and I we didn't know what we were doing. They took us into a studio in New York. We'd never recorded anything, you know. Took us into a studio in New York and made and cut two sides. And basically, we never really had an album. It was a single. And it was a very interesting experience because we had just no idea. they just stuck me in front of a microphone, and I was a wailing kind of singer, as you know, anyway. So I just wailed, and then it was a few more years before we made another record. It was probably 5 years before we made another one. Well, maybe, no, maybe 4 years. And so then there was a little period of settling down where you were able to see kind of what you were doing. And we were steadily playing gigs, you know, during that time. So, I did go to college. I did graduate from college. I merged all my college classes into like 2 days a week, 3 days a week. It's five days a week. I travel with the band, you know. But
you were playing a lot of coffee house circuits back then at that point too.
A lot of coffee house circuits. What we called in the Northeast, what we called teen clubs, which don't really have them anymore that I know of. And then after a while, you know, just started playing regular clubs. And before you know it, you know, they say life is what's happening while your life is what's happening while you're doing thinking about other things. Is that what they say?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, this is my life, you know, and it's been a good life. It is a good life.
But you know, the first band that you were involved with, what was the name of the first band you were involved with?
The Wrong Black Bag, but wrong, we put an H on the end of it. We thought that was super hip. And that was the band that had the record. Yeah,
the Wrong Black Bag. That's classic. And
I know. Well, you know, we couldn't. We thought we were so smart.
Now, am I mistaken in the fact that, because I'm going off of memory with a little bit of this, but the Scratch Band, is that another band?
Yes, the Scratch Band was kind of the next fully formed band after that, and there I met a guitar player named G.E. Smith, and G.E. would be very instrumental, still one of my closest friends, and would be very instrumental in the rest of my life, obviously, because I ended up on Saturday Night Live with him, and when he was the leader of the band, and many years later, you know, that's how it comes around sometimes. So, go from kicking around and, you know, club circuit. The next thing you know, you're on NBC.
Okay, and when you made that jump, and you were, because everybody knows the Beehive Queen from the Saturday Night Live band. I mean,
yeah.
Who doesn't know Christine? You know what I mean? So, I grew up, you know what I mean, watching Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
When did you actually? You ended up with Saturday Night Live in the early '90s. Is that correct?
Yes, in the early 90s, and at that time, GE had already been the musical director for a while. And the year that T-Bone, the late, great T-Bone Wolk, left, the bass player, another friend of mine came in as a bass player, and at the same time, they just asked me to do one gig with them, an outside gig, not even on the show. But Lorne Michaels was there, and he liked what I did, and said to GE, why don't you have her come back? And come with the band on the show. And that's really how it happened.
Wow.
Really pretty. You know, it was pretty classic. But in the meantime, you know, GE and I had been keeping in touch, and I am a very active collector of what's called deep Southern soul music, and I'm a musicologist. I write about that. In fact, I'll be in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, in July for the WC Handy Festival. I love to go down to Muscle Shoals and work with some of the cast down there. But GE has called me up and said, we want to do this gig and we want to use some of the songs that you've been sending me on these mixtapes that you make, these cassettes that you make of all your records. Why don't you, you know, pick some songs and that's what we'll do. So it was my record collection was also fairly instrumental in getting me the gig.
Wow. But, and let me ask you, when you were, you know, through this, because there's a break here.
Yeah.
In between the time you go to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And prior to that, and of course, the Scratch Band.
Yes.
What was taking place in that time period? You were writing and producing music?
No, I actually never wrote in the Scratch Band. Here's something interesting. My late husband was always after me to start writing, but there were the guys were the writers, and I was the chick singer. Then I started playing guitar, and the next thing you knew, the Scratch Band came and went, and we made two records, and I never wrote one single thing on them, John. And my husband was prodding and prodding, you know, I know you can do this. After the Scratch Band broke up, then I had to form my own band. The first band I had was called Christine Ullman and the Soul Rockers, and I was very well aware that I would have to start writing songs. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. And the first couple I wrote were terrible. But then I began to realize that you had to tell a story, and I got the hang of it. And I dare say that, you know, I'm, without being big-headed, I'm the best songwriter that band ever produced. You know, I get turned out to be a pretty good songwriter, you know, but it was terrifying at first.
You know, it's you go on. I mean, this is amazing because the history of this, because when you think about that, the writing aspect of it and getting your wings and getting your voice, so to speak, in your music, you went on to do in Central Park, I think it was 2003, you ended up doing, you fronted for Big Brother and the Holding Company.
Yep, the Year of the Blues. That was the Year of the Blues that the Smithsonian Institute sponsored, and they did a tribute to Janis Joplin at Summer Stage in Central Park, and they had a bunch of us, and it was just a wonderful night. The late Phoebe Snow, you know, we lost Phoebe about 2.5 months ago now. Phoebe Snow, Kate Pearson from the B-52s, Genya Ravon. A bunch of us were, they called us there, and we sang Janis Joplin's tunes, but they asked me to open the show. I did a duet with Sam Andrew. It was absolutely amazing, and the Cosmic Blues Band was there too, so I sang with the Cosmic Blues Band as well.
Wow.
And all of us were just completely enraptured with the whole thing. We were so proud to be asked, you know, and so proud to be included.
When you take a look at the lifestyle that, and I got to tell you, getting to know you a little bit, you have definitely a good foundation in reality, because there's a lot of people that are in your position that don't have that fundamental understanding that, hey, listen, you know something, I'm here right now, it's okay right now, and everything's cool right now. And you know, treat people with dignity, respect, and patience, and tolerance, and love, and it's amazing. I hear it in you every time I talk to you, and
well,
I see it in things that you've written, and I hear it in your music.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you stay grounded like that?
Well, I believe that you always have to have. I believe that in whatever job you're in, that you have to be a person first. You have to be a real person first. You have to have some regard for yourself. You have to be able to take care of yourself, your health, your well-being. I think anyone, you know, who's in recovery knows this. It's important, eating and sleeping and all of that stuff. But more than that, you have to be a person, and every person has worth. Unfortunately, in my business, John, there are a bunch of idiots. I mean, anybody, you've seen them, I've seen them. It's appalling to me when I do see them, because I just can't believe anybody would think so much of themselves that they would think that it precluded treating other people with decency and giving them the same consideration and dignity.
Correct.
I just believe you have to be a person first. Your responsibility in this life is to yourself and then to everyone around you, starting with your mate, then to your family, then to your immediate group. I believe it's vitally important to be a responsible member of the human race. And to be so self-centered that you can't see anybody else around you is irresponsible.
You know something? That's why we love you, Christine.
Well, well, I love you too. But, I mean, that's really it. I mean, it's that's the nutshell of it, you know? I mean, that's it in a nutshell. You can't ignore other people or feel, because, I mean, you know, do unto others. Do unto others. If you expect them to do unto you, you know, it's not the world revolves around me. And it's, you know.
Yeah, you know.
But by the same token, you have to have a sense of your self-worth. You have to have a sense of yourself. That's important.
Well, I think there's a fine line between being a rug that somebody's walking all over.
That's right.
And being somebody that has self-worth and self-esteem and is able to say, hey, listen, I can be there for people and I can treat people with respect and dignity and treat people the way I want to be treated, as you said eloquently. But at the same token, don't take kindness for weakness. And we can have that variable today, where we don't have to go to extremes.
Yes, and I think that's very important to talk about, you know, on this show, that weakness is, let me rephrase that. It is not always easy to be kind. It takes strength to be kind. And so, therefore, kindness is not only in a way, it's a virtue, but also kindness is something that involves selflessness sometimes. And that's not an easy thing to do. So, you know, weakness and kindness don't go hand in hand, I don't believe.
No.
You know?
No, absolutely not.
Yes, and it's super important not to be a rug that anybody's walking.
You know, we have to have that strain. I truly believe, and I don't, you know, I tread on this lightly when I'm on the air, but I got to tell you, there are certain times where I have to call on my higher power for that strength.
Of course.
And through that strength, and it isn't so much, you know, like that, thank God, by the grace of God, that aspect of my life has, you know, I haven't had an urge or a desire to use in years.
Yep.
But at the same token, I've had an urge and a desire to hurt people.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Where I got to say to myself, God, give me strength to treat them the way I want to be treated and walk through those feelings and those emotions without reacting.
That's right. The reacting, I think, is so key. The reacting is so key because the reacting is what stays with you, you see, and then builds up and builds up and builds up. Just, you know, do the right thing and let it go and let it go, you know. I mean, we all know this in whatever level of recovery.
Correct.
It's so important to let it go. Otherwise, it just is going to sit there.
And fester.
You know, and fester. And also, kindness, acts. Small and random acts of kindness and just smiling at someone sometimes can be such an illuminating thing to do. I mean, can give you so much, you know, let's be a little selfish about it, too. You get back.
Oh, absolutely.
You get back from that kind of stuff. So, you know, let's be a little bit selfish and, you know, and say that, you know, it's a two-way street.
I had when I was newly in recovery, I had a lady that, her name is Michelle, and she said something to me that was amazing. I think it was in my first 60 days or so. She said to me, John, it's painful to have people love you, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Isn't that true?
And it was amazing to me that I had to stop and think about the fact that it was painful when somebody showed me affection or showed me love or somebody showed me a smile or, you know, it irritated, it aggravated me, you know, and partly because I was incapable of giving it back.
That's right. That's right.
So what we're going to do, we're going to talk more about this, and we'll talk more about other stuff too, but we're going to have to go out to a break. And what I want to do is I want to play my favorite song on the CD, which is Cry Baby Cry. And
thank you.
We're going to talk about that, and we'll be back right after the commercial and Cry Baby Cry.
Thank you.
You will go. 877-799-8773. That's 877-799-8773. Or visit HolisticLifestylesRadio.com.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction problem? Healing and a new way of life is only a phone call away. Palm Partners Recovery Centers specialize in chemical dependency, offering a comprehensive program of detox, treatment, and aftercare. Palm Partners combines traditional 12-step recovery with holistic and therapeutic treatment, guiding the patient to long-term recovery. Take control of your life. Reach for the highest quality care at an affordable cost. For a free consultation, call Palm Partners today. Toll free, 877-284-3052. That's 877-284-3052. Palm Partners Recovery Centers, healing mind, body, and spirit.
My name is Robert Gluck. I am a practicing trial lawyer and have been specializing in helping people who have been injured in all types of accidents for the past 20 years. I handle cases throughout the state of Florida. Recently, the legislature in Tallahassee has changed certain laws, and insurance companies are now taking advantage of those changes, resulting in much lower offers on personal injury cases across the board. It is now necessary to file a lawsuit to get a fair settlement on these cases. Before you settle your case for less than what it's worth, let me review it over the phone or in person with you for free. If there is no recovery, there is no fee. Call now for your free consultation at 954-583-8999. That's 954-583-8999.
The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertising. Ask for free written information about qualifications and experience.
Double up on the commercials there. We forgot to take our quarter after break. Me and Christine were in deep on our conversation and blew past the 15-minute after break I was supposed to take. But you know something? All is good. That's why, you know, I like hanging out with people like Christine, because I get to get sidetracked and I get to get into the conversation and I get to have some fun with what we do here at Rockers in Recovery. You can check us out at rockersinrecovery.com. It's the new social media site that we just put up. You can also check us out at our regular website at holisticlifestylesradio.com. Christine Ullman is with us tonight live. She's, of course, the Beehive Queen from the Saturday Night Live band and has done oodles of other stuff and just came out with a great CD, The Deep End. That song happens to be Cry Baby Cry with Dion. There Ain't No Cure, which is another song on there, which is amazing, too. That's my second favorite, is with Ian Hunter. And Christine, tell us a little bit about, first of all, the making of The Deep End. It didn't just happen overnight. This was like a process, correct?
Yeah. We started started recording in 2009, and I contacted a bunch of friends and asked them if they would be on the record. Some of the special guests include Dion, who was just so gracious and wonderful, and Ian Hunter, also Marshall Crenshaw. Marshall Crenshaw does a duet with me on the record. LaVon Helm from the band.
Wow.
Plays drums on a cut and tambourine on another cut.
What cut is LaVon Helm on?
LaVon is on the What's the Matter with You, Baby, the duet with Marshall Crenshaw.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff.
Also gave us over his studio to use for the day, which was wonderful, up in Woodstock, New York. Our friend Catherine Russell does the background vocals on Cry Baby Cry that you just heard. G.E. Smith plays on the record. Also, Eric Amble, who's a great alternative country guitar player from New York. And my friend Andy York. Andy is John Mellencamp's guitar player And Andy co-produced the record with me. So, you know, quite a few. Also, Big Al Anderson. Al Anderson, great guitar player from NRBQ. Now he lives in Nashville. Just 20 years in recovery, Al. Just got past that milestone. So shout out to him.
You know, it's like I said. You don't want to when you get one of those songs in your head. You know, and I'm sure you've gone through it, and you're with your own. I'm sure you have your own musical interests.
Yeah.
And you get that song in your head, and you're waking up in the morning, and that's the first thing that like fills your mind is "Cry Baby Cry." And I mean,
well,
I literally am getting up humming it, walking around singing it.
Yeah, Dion and I both. That's actually I didn't write that. That's another record from my collection. There are three cover tunes on the record on the mm-hmm. Deep End, and that's one of them. Very obscure little 45 that I'd had kicking around for years, mm-hmm. and I'd sent it a copy of it to Dion, and he loved it. We decided we would do it.
Amazing, man, amazing.
Thank you.
There Ain't No Cure, like I said, is my second favorite. That was.
Yeah.
That is just hardcore, man. Hardcore rock and roll tune. And what was the thought behind that?
There Ain't No Cure. I wrote. I was down in Clarksdale, Mississippi. I'm the 2 years after my husband passed away. I decided to drive through the Delta in a rented car one summer. So I flew down to Jackson, Mississippi, and I got in a car and I drove up all around Clarksdale and up there, and. There's a phrase in the Delta Blues, it ain't satisfaction, they used to say. It ain't satisfaction. No matter what I do, it ain't satisfaction. That phrase kept kicking around, and there ain't no cure is something else that I'd heard. I think maybe Charlie Patton, somebody like that, Robert Johnson, maybe. So that was the basis of it. And then I got there's a little chorus, you're kind of like poison in a pretty colored bottle.
I love it, yeah.
Way train with a wide open throttle. For me as a songwriter, once I get that germ of an idea, then the rest of the lyrics just kind of pour out. I spent a lot of time on my lyrics. I'm pretty proud of them. And I love the sing-song aspect of that. So we asked Ian to sing on it, and he said he would. He was so gracious as well. And the day that he came to sing, he showed up with the words to The Deep End written on a yellow piece of yellow legal pad paper. And he said, you know, as a songwriter, you're really upping the ante for me, because he was writing a new record. And he said, do you mind if I sing on The Deep End too?
Wow.
So he also sang some background vocals on The Deep End.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you get to have these experiences, and you know, if you're listening tonight, and you know, you tend to find yourself in, because I believe that everybody's in recovery from one thing or another.
Oh yes.
You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be drugs or alcohol, and it can be, you know, having an experience like Christine went through. Where, you know, you're battling, it's as far as a family member is concerned, to have somebody that battles cancer and passes from cancer, or battles from addiction and passes from addiction, it's the same thing. You're going through those same struggles, and you're going through those same feelings that you would have of grief and all of the rest of the things. And it doesn't matter, you know, because basically both diseases kill.
That's right, and as we discussed the last time I was on, my mother died of the effects of alcoholism, and
mm-hmm.
And she was 53 years old, and it was terribly difficult. She simply wouldn't admit there was any kind of a problem at all, and it was heartbreaking. That's not something that you soon, you know, ever forget. So I know about that. I certainly know about that.
You know, I'm glad that we're talking about this, because I want to ask you a question. Did you find that, because I had addiction run in my family, you know, especially on my dad's side.
Yes.
And did you find that through that experience that you had to, that you had to really watch what you were doing as far as your
own?
You know, what you were doing in your own lifestyle.
When my husband was so sick,
mm-hmm.
I thought about anything to dull the pain, you know. And I didn't go there, but I thought about it a lot.
The other aspect of it too is growing up in a dysfunctional family, because that's how my family was. Growing up in a dysfunctional family, I tended to gravitate towards dysfunctional people. So did you find that having that aspect in your life, that you had to really be careful on the mates that you picked and the people that you picked and you put in your life?
I just think you have to be very vigilant. And know going in that, first of all, if you came from a dysfunctional family, I mean, it wasn't, I didn't feel that it was my fault that my mother drank. My mother was deeply unhappy for many reasons. I don't think any of which had to do with me, you know. So she progressively went that way, you know. I think it's important, again, to remember and not beat yourself up. Because you were in a dysfunctional family, much of it probably was not your fault, you know. So the important thing is to cut yourself some slack.
I think there's a difference today between today and, you know, 25, 30, 40 years ago, while we were going through all of that stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because today, I'm not going to say that everybody will commit and talk about it, but the change has been drastic to the point where people are more apt to go seek help than there were 40 years ago.
Oh, totally. And it's easier, and it's more accepted.
Correct.
You know? I totally agree with that, very, very, very much.
Yeah. I think the other aspect that I appreciate is the fact that people that have had loved ones, you know, because by the grace of God, I'm still sitting here. My family didn't have to bury me, by the grace of God, one day at a time. And, you know, doing the right thing, they should never have to one day at a time. It is a spiritual reprieve based on the daily maintenance. And I got to tell you that I have watched, you know, over my years of abuse, hundreds of people die from their addiction.
Oh, yes.
And being in the music industry, you had to see that unfolding in front of you, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. You know, it's so hard to watch, because we know that there is a path to recovery, and we know that it can stick, you know. So hard to watch that struggle, and you know, until you come to the realization yourself, everybody around you can be telling you, "Well, this is what you should do," and they should be, they could be so supportive, you know, until you come to the realization yourself.
Yeah, I've always said, and it's amazing, you either choose in or you choose out.
Yep.
But you're going to have to choose something.
That's right.
Because being on the fence,
right.
Being on the fence will make you insane.
Yeah.
You know, not that, you know, choosing out's not going to make you insane, but let me tell you something. Living on that fence can definitely drive a person crazy.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I want to talk about real quick is that I am so honored that you are going to be scheduled to play at the 4th Annual 12-Step Music Fest.
I am completely honored myself and just jazzed. Asked, let me say, looking so forward to it.
I can't wait for you to get down. I want to be able to share my kind of like little world with you for a little, you know, for a day or so. Anyway,
cannot wait.
You know, and it's going to be. We're looking forward to it in a big way. And I, you know, the New York City Hit Squad is getting ready to play on the 13th. Where? Give us a little bit of information on the New York
City
Hit Squad.
We're going down the NYC Hit Squad, which is Ricky Bird, Liberty DeVito, myself, the Asbury Duke Horns, Jeff Kazee on keyboards, and Muddy Shoes on bass. We're getting ready to play the Iridium Jazz Club in New York City on Wednesday, July 13th. Please come down and join us. Iridium was the home of the late, great Les Paul, and it's a great landmark club in New York City. We're also gearing up for the reopening of our home base club, which is a club called The Cutting Room, and we will be playing a benefit for one of the ladder companies, and I know, John, you're going to come up for this, a benefit for one of the ladder companies for what certainly will be a terribly bittersweet time in New York City surrounding September 11th, 2011. Ricky Bird had become friendly with this ladder company and has stayed after 9/11 and has stayed a part of their extended family, and we're going to do a benefit for them on September 9th.
You guys are mom.
At the cutting room, at the newly opened cutting room. But if you're in New York City in July, mid-July, please come and see us and be with us on Wednesday, July 13th at Iridium.
And that is at 51st and Broadway?
51st and Broadway. It's really in the basement of the Brill Building, the great, okay. Famous building where all the songs were written, great songs were written, 51st and Broadway.
Hmm.
And they serve great food. John's been there with us.
Oh, it was excellent, man. I had such a good. I don't know if you know what happened that night, but I'm sitting there, right, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to get pictures. Oh my God, I had walked out of the hotel without my camera. All right, so now I'm trying to shoot them off of a phone, and I'm like, this is not working. I literally run out on the 51st Street and out on Broadway, and I see that there's a CVS across the street.
Yep.
I ran across to CVS and made it back in a half a song with a throwaway camera.
You didn't get killed crossing Broadway.
It was classic. I was with
good
my nephew.
You.
He goes, I can't believe you did it that quick.
Wow.
And here's the good news, Christine. I even paid for it.
Wow.
Listen, Christine Allman, what are you doing next? What do you think you're going to be doing next year? You got any ideas, or are you just kind
of
hanging?
Oh, I know. Well, first of all, I could also tell the listeners about another thing. We're very, very happy. I'm very happy to be releasing my very first concert DVD.
Wow.
In fact, it'll be up for pre-order on Amazon.com around about June 15th. The actual release date for Amazon, et cetera, is July 19th. It is called Live Hive, named after my famous beehive.
Absolutely.
Live Hive, Christine Ullman, and Rebel Montez, which is the name of my band. Mm-hmm. So that's actually the next thing, the next big thing for me. You know, we'll be promoting that on tour all summer long. And I have festivals in Connecticut coming up. I'm in Boston at the Foundation Room of the House of Blues this Thursday. And it just continues on from there. I'll be at Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in August. That's a big, big festival out there in Pennsylvania.
I just had a buddy of mine, Tony, on, and he used to play the Pocono Blues Fest.
Yep.
And I guess it's now no longer the Pocono Blues Fest. It's the Pennsylvania Blues Fest.
Yep. Well, this is Music Fest is a 10-day,
wow,
multiple stage thing that they've been putting on for about 10 years. And It's really a big deal.
And when is that?
Outside Philly. I'll be there on Sunday, August 7th.
Honestly.
On the main stage at Music Fest. So I'll be, and it's Christine Ullman.net. My name is spelled OHLMAN.net. My Facebook page is Beehive Queen. Please come and join me.
I joined it all. Gearing up
towards the November 5th festival in Florida, where we will all be meeting and greeting and interacting.
It's going to be cool as hell. The other thing is too is that I was talking in the first hour, and I had everybody in the control room laughing. But I am actually taking 2 weeks off in August, and they all laughed.
You are?
Yeah. They don't. Nobody believes it around here, but I'm doing it. It's going to be the first 2 weeks of August, and I'm going to be in the Philadelphia area visiting family.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Well, April 7th. I mean, Music Fest, I'm sure they know what it is. I mean, Music Fest is just this. So it's one of these things that's just sort of organically grown over the years.
Uh-huh.
I believe it. I believe it's 10 days. Yeah. But
wow.
Sunday, August 7th. Yes.
Well, and definitely it's getting to the point now where I'm like scheduling things. So
okay.
So I'm glad that you told me. And you might be seeing me before November.
I would love to see you in the audience. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Great stuff, man. And listen, Christine, we love you. Thank you for being on the show. And you know something, in closing, I just wanna ask you, if you had to do it all over again, is there anything that you would change?
I'd like to have my mother know that I'm on Saturday Night Live, and she died before that happened, you know. But other than that, John, not really. I mean, I'm happy with where I am now, and I'm happy to be able to get up and do my work every day. So I think I'm very blessed. And but you know, my mom grew up in New York City, and I think she would have gotten the biggest kick out of the fact that I'm on Saturday Night Live. You know.
So and I got, since you brought that up, we got one other question real quick.
Sure.
Maybe you can answer this one. When you go in and you perform at Saturday Night Live,
yeah.
Is that on a regular basis, or is that as needed, or is, how does that work?
Yeah, it's pretty much as needed, but remember, there's only 20 live shows a year.
Okay,
so it isn't like it isn't like being in the Letterman band or something where you're there every night. You know, it's just 20 live shows a year. So we do a variety of things. We're singing with the band, obviously, and also we do jingles and other kinds of music, pre-recorded music that they use on the show, and also sometimes live music. Sometimes there's live, you know, singing that goes on during skits and all that kind of thing. We're just there to provide music for the show, basically.
Well, you know, something I really, really appreciate when I see you on Saturday Night Live. I tend to tune in just to see you from time to time.
Well, thank you.
So this is what we're going to do, folks. We're going to ask you to go to ChristineOhlman.net. We're going to ask you to keep following her on the Beehive Queen on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to ask you to pick up her DVD that's coming out. And most importantly, if you really want some soul and some blues and some love, check out The Deep End. And you can find that right at her website. You can also find it on Amazon and iTunes, Christine Ohlman, The Deep End. Christine, as usual, great show. Thank you for being with us. And I look forward to seeing you in my travels and definitely seeing you down here for the 12-Step Music Fest.
Thank you, John. All respect to you. And much love to all the listeners. Thank you so much for having me there.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, and stay tuned because, of course, we did, an interview or two at a live performance this afternoon that was taking place in Margate, Florida. And this live performance was put together from the Keep Coming Back band that played there. But it was more than that. It was to benefit children with disabilities. And it was the Go Green for a Cause organization, a nonprofit that put this event on. And I ask you that if you get an opportunity to go green, go to gogreenforthecause.org and take a look around and help out children with disabilities. But this next few hours here is all going to be dedicated to, of course, you listening to some of the interviews and some of the people that we spoke with, a couple of band interviews, and you know, we did it just this afternoon before we came in here. I want to thank Tony for the first hour and being on with me, my friend Tony from the Poconos, Christine Ohlman from the Saturday Night Live band. Unbelievable. Christine, great, great human being, great lady. We want to thank Christine for being on with us. We want to thank the Keep Coming Back band. We want to thank Jan from the Eatery for all she did out in Margate today. And just huge, huge stuff going on. Keep it light, but keep it fun. Most of all, keep it serious, because if you're not serious about your recovery, you're doomed to repeat. We'll be back next week on Sunday night with a whole lot of stuff. I got tomorrow night, I'm going to be in here live with Mark Lundholm, the comedian who's emceeing the 12-Step Music Fest. So it's tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on our 10 o'clock show. Check us out. I don't mind.
time you know.